This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. My name is Scott Watley. It is the Legal Hour with our good friend Kevin Flesh, Flesh and Beck Law. We are here to answer your legal questions and help you in any way we can. So our lines will open them up now, 303-477-5600. If you've got any legal question for Kevin, we'll be happy to help you. And with that, we will welcome Mr. Flesh himself. How are you, sir?
I'm fantastic. So nice to be here, and summer in Colorado, so nice.
It is, yeah.
And just happy that we have a great place to spend time in. And I mean, it's been kind of, you know, we're finally getting the heat, right? But we're still getting those afternoon rain showers and sort of what I remember Colorado to be, you know, 20 years ago when I first moved here versus what we had with the drought. But interesting. And the practice is good and helping people and doing the things we need to do to fight the fight.
Yeah, we were down, Victoria and I went to Durango. Quentin got married. Saturday in Durango, so we went down there and then came back the 285 route. And I tell you, we live in a beautiful place.
We really do.
Man, I'm telling you,
we saw
some great country.
Yeah, we were just talking off air that I was gone last week. I was up in Alaska fishing with my wife, and Alaska, Southeast Alaska is beautiful. No question, but it's always nice to come home because you can't beat. I mean, we're looking out the window of the studio here, and we've got a beautiful view of the mountains and the weather, and you just can't beat the weather in Colorado.
Man, no.
Yeah.
Love it. Well, again, we will help you today if we can. It is the Legal Hour with Kevin, and Kevin, we haven't done this in a while. Just kind of give us an overview of your firm for maybe new listeners that haven't heard all about all you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So we handle all types of litigation. Primarily, our focus is really in two areas of practice, the criminal defense practice that we don't talk about a lot. We're going to talk about some today, but defending people in those situations where they've gotten arrested for something. And we help them through that process, no matter what their circumstance is. And that's both in state, federal court. We do a bunch of municipal court work as well. And then the other side of the practice is the personal injury practice. So if you're hurt by someone else's negligence, we take care of those cases for you as well. And that runs the gamut. It was interesting. I've had a number of strange cases that we've resolved within the last couple of weeks, things that you just don't think about. But simple things like nursing home abuse. I had just finished a case where a client had in-home patient care, and the nursing facility, the nurses that would come in weren't doing the things that were necessarily correct for him, and he had some other problems, and so we were able to prove that and get that case resolved for him. And then food poisoning cases, but more than just your standard sort of car accidents or slip and falls and the things that a lot of people think about what we do. So if you get into a situation where you feel like someone has done something to you and you can prove that they were negligent, that they had a duty to you in some way,
I mean, it's worth a phone call.
Absolutely it is. Yeah, it certainly is. And make the phone call and let's talk about it and see if there's something that I can do for you. Matter of fact, an example is yesterday I had a call from a guy who he had three cars in, he's in an apartment complex. He had three cars that he had parked in a parking lot. And the last storm we had, this tree, I'm assuming it was a cottonwood, was dead in the center and it blew over and fell on the top of his three cars. Well, he didn't have insurance on all of them. And so the apartment complex is saying it was an act of God and their insurance doesn't cover. But he also told me about the fact that this tree was half dead, and there had been neighbors and other people that had told the apartment complex that, hey, this is a real danger for you. So we had the discussion about, you know, is it a dangerous condition on the premises that caused the problem? And it was only inevitable that...
Because not every tree blew over.
Yeah, right.
That one.
That's exactly right. And he had great pictures of how the center of it was completely hollowed out, and it was dead, that the top of it was still alive. But you could tell, anybody could tell, that it was a tree that should have been taken out. So it's those sorts of things that you just never know. Our bread and butter sort of cases, the car accident or the premises liability cases, but we handle the other things that are sort of on the margin that are always interesting to me to work on, because it gives us a little bit, it makes us work a little bit harder in the sense of trying to figure out a theory for liability. And so, but a lot of that sort of work as well. And so anytime people have questions about sort of hey, I've been hurt by this or this other activity. It wasn't my fault. I can prove the other person had a responsibility to me or didn't act reasonably under the circumstances and it caused me injury. Those are the sorts of cases we help.
Gotcha. Yeah. Again, our lines are open, 303-477-5600. If you've got a legal question for Kevin, we'll be happy to take your call. Today we're going to talk about, as Kevin mentioned, something on the criminal side, and that is DUI. And, boy, I just saw a little deal in the news the other day where I think it was a 4 or 5-year-old girl, you know, got killed.
Right.
A drunk driver. And, I mean, you know, so the first thing we want to say, when we do these shows, they're not, hey, top 10 ways to get out of a DUI.
Right.
I mean,
That's exactly right.
We're here for education because no matter what you do on the legal side, everybody has rights.
Yep.
And that's the main thing that you are there to protect.
It is. And, you know, in our practice, it is interesting because we do defend a lot of folks that have been charged with DUI. And then on the personal injury side, we're prosecuting folks that have been charged with a DUI when they hurt people. So I get both sides of the argument, and I certainly understand that there are legal ramifications for people's actions on both sides of the fence. And I understand that, and we help people on both sides. The bottom line, certainly, is before we talk about anything, is it's so easy not to have this happen. You can avoid it very simply. Right. Don't get behind the wheel of a car. Mm-hmm. And the bottom line is, you know, now with marijuana being legal, you don't even have to be impaired by alcohol. It can be alcohol and marijuana. And so it's what I tell everybody anymore, because I have people ask me all the time, well, what do I do if I get pulled over? Well, hopefully you haven't had anything to drink. And if you haven't had anything to drink, then it's a lot simpler. Right. But if you have, now it's serious. And what happens if I hit somebody when I've been drinking? Mm-hmm. And again, it's the same thing. Just don't do it. It's so easy. We've got so much mass transit, Lyft, Uber, all of the ride shares. And just the ability that, you know, friends don't let people drink and drive.
Sure.
That's the bottom line. And so with that said, there are things that we always talk about with regard to these sorts of situations that you need to be aware of and be smart about.
And right now is, I mean, a peak time.
It is.
Summer, you got people having, you know, barbecues and parties or Rockies games, which the Rockies will make you drink
right.
The way they're playing.
No doubt.
But, yeah, the way they're playing. But seriously, I mean, you know, you got baseball games and all the different things. And
The Red Rock shows. I mean, you've got so many different opportunities to be outside. And there's nothing wrong with having a few drinks. It's just you've got to have a plan.
Yeah.
Or you've got to have a plan that you're not drinking because it's just not worth it.
When you get the call from people and it's their first DUI, what are they the most surprised to learn? Because there's a lot of misconceptions out there on DUIs and different things that you need to do, don't need to do.
Yeah.
What's some of the things people are just shocked?
It's amazing to me how many people go to the internet and they think that they can work out their case through what they learn on the internet. Much like anything else, I think the internet is probably good to get at least educated about the issues that you have. But I don't think it's ever the end-all be-all to resolve a complicated matter like a DUI. I think the biggest thing that people have a really hard time understanding is that they've gotten a summons from a police officer that they have to appear in court, but then there's a separate process through the Department of Revenue for their driver's license that is separate and apart from the criminal process, and that they have certain duties and certain things that they need to do much faster in the process, within 7 days, for example, of requesting a hearing with DMV, that have nothing to do with the criminal process. And so, and then it gets even more complicated whether or not they've gotten, whether they took a breath test or a blood test. You know, folks, almost every call I get when a person has taken a blood test, they immediately think that their driver's license has been suspended. And it hasn't been because the blood result hasn't come back yet. And then the people can't believe that it's going to take 6 to 8 weeks to get that blood test back and that they have to wait. Because most people, when they get this, first they get through the process of being, oh my gosh, I'm going to jail. And a lot of times on the first offense, they're not going to jail. So we deal with that and say, listen, I'm not going to tell you you're going to jail, so you don't have to worry about that. So let's talk about, let's put that aside. You're not going to jail. Let's talk about what it is that we can do to help you get through this process as smoothly as possible. Relax, you know, and we can do this. This is something that's manageable. But there are certain steps that you have to take. And so those are the things that we talk about. And people want to get it over with quickly. And when they have to wait to get an idea of what their blood result is. Because sometimes the blood results come back and it's below the legal limit.
Sure.
It doesn't happen a lot. But it happens one or two times out of 10. And so they have a real hard time waiting. Because people want to get it over with. It's a horrible experience in their life. They just want to get it over with. And that's where we're there to say, well, slow down. Mm-hmm. It's going to be okay. Right. You're going to work through this. And don't get too excited about doing something quickly just to get it over with. Because maybe you won't be convicted at all. And let's take our time on it.
But they need to get in touch with you relatively soon after the DUI. Because there are DMV requirements.
There are. Like I said, no matter what the situation is, whether you've taken a breath or blood test, you want to get in contact with me so that I can explain to you those steps. Because if you've taken a breath test, within 7 days of that breath test and you getting the summons from the officer that you have to appear in court, you have to request a hearing with DMV or you lose that right. Mm-hmm. Blood's a little different because you have to wait until the blood results come back. But with a breath test, it's immediate. So if you wait 2 weeks, you say, oh... Because normally the court appearances are 45 or 60 days out after you've been arrested. If you wait a couple of weeks, you've lost your ability to request a hearing with DMV. And that in some cases, is a big deal. Because depending upon what your blood alcohol level is, if you're over 0.15, for example, BAC, you may have to have an interlock device in your car for 2 years now. And you don't get the ability to have a hearing if you haven't requested it within that 7 days. The other thing that's really important is to make sure that you request that the officer be present at the hearing. Because a certain percentage of the time, we have anywhere from 20 to 25% of the time, the officers don't appear. And if they don't appear and you've requested them to appear, then the action has to go away because their evidence has not appeared. So those are things that technically we can help people with. But it just takes a little bit of time for us to talk our way through it, either in person or over the phone.
Right. And would you say that, you know, I think most people think, well, if I can just stay in my lane on the way home, I'm going to be good. But
yeah.
A lot of DUIs we've talked about before are not originally stopped for swerving, so to speak.
Right.
It's something like they forgot to turn their headlights on, yep. Or they leave a signal on for 2 miles or different things.
Yeah. And what's interesting is that there are certain, and I've noticed in my years of driving, because I've sort of begun to wonder late at night. I'm not out late at night a lot, but when I am, I'm always curious to see what the drivers are doing and, mm-hmm. and looking at how people are reacting in just the driving. So what certainly police officers are trained to look for certain cues. And certain cues are the way that you're driving down the road and whether or not it's smooth within the lane or whether or not you're a little bit more jittery, whether or not something else is going on, what looks like something else is going on in the car. But you're right. They can pull you over for just about anything. You got a light out on the back of your license plate on the back of your car. Well, that's a violation of the law in Colorado. And I've had numerous judges and police officers say, you know, some officers are just better sort of gut reaction instinct than others about, it's much like anything else in life. You know, some people are really good golfers or they're really good at other leisure sports. There's some police officers that are really perceptive about people's driving and they can figure out if something's going on and you have some sort of impairment. And if they get reasonable suspicion, that's all that they need. If they have some sort of reasonable suspicion that you have committed a traffic offense or something else, they can pull you over. And that's where the fun begins from their perspective. And certainly after midnight on any night of the week, but in particular the weekend nights, police officers are out just fishing for people that are under the influence.
Right.
And, you know, some of them are really good at figuring it out. And then even if they're wrong, you still have to go through this process. So obviously the crazy things that you hear about, the ones that are most concerning to me are the folks that come into my office that they've had multiple DUIs. They're driving at a very high level of alcohol in their system. It's early morning because they're just perpetually drinking. And they get pulled over for some other craziness that's happened. You know, they're involved in an accident that isn't their fault, you know,
sure.
That they're just driving along perfectly fine and somebody else hits them and then they have to stay for the accident because there's enough injury or enough damage to people's cars. Or where something else strange happens, where they're actually there because of something else that happens on the roadway and they just have incidental contact with the police. All of those sorts of things you just never know.
Right.
And what I've found, and there's studies out there that talk about, especially folks that have had multiple tickets for driving under the influence, is that there's a multiplier of times that they've done it before. And the studies say that, especially folks that have multiple DUIs, that it's not the first time or the second or the third time that that it happens. It's the 80th time, and they've gotten away with it those other times, and they just maybe got unlucky. Or I have a lot of driving under the influence allegations that happen within a couple miles of your house. Mm-hmm. And because as you get closer to home, you get a little bit more comfortable with your surroundings. And I think people lose sort of their ability to be more attentive in driving.
Right.
And so then they have an officer that picks up the cues and pulls them over.
Right. It's the Legal Hour with Kevin Flesch. Once again, if you've got any legal questions, we'll open up the lines 303-477-5600. When we come back, we're going to talk about that traffic stop. We've all had it where you look in the rearview mirror and all of a sudden there's lights behind you. And what do you do now and what do you say now? We'll be back with more right after this.
The tingling and numbness in your feet started a long time ago, and it's only gotten worse. It's finally getting to the point where you can't sleep at night. It's starting to affect your balance, and although your doctor prescribed medication, you worry about the side effects. Dr. Dean Anderson, chiropractor with Front Range Medical Center, offers an advanced treatment for peripheral neuropathy that can greatly reduce your nerve pain. Regain feeling and mobility without taking prescription medications. At Front Range Medical Center, Dr. Anderson and his team treat the source of the nerve pain using one of the most advanced forms of electronic medicine to help their patients experience long-term success. You know the problem won't go away on its own. Call Dr. Dean Anderson today and mention Haystack Help Radio to receive a $27 consultation, including a neuropathy-specific exam and a review of your health history. Find out whether or not you could be a candidate for this advanced treatment. Call 720-851-9694, 720-851-9694. You have nothing to lose but pain.
What could you do with an extra $500, $1,000, or even $1,500 per month? How would that change things for you? Would you buy a new car, pay off bills, or just feel a bit more secure about your retirement? What if I told you there's a way to make your dreams a reality? I'm talking about trading and investing in the market. Now, before you say, oh, that's not for me, just hear me out. I want to invite you to a half-day trading course so you can check this out. I promise you, you'll go away smarter than when you came in. We here at Online Trading Academy sponsor this, and we'll even send you home with a free home study video guide. Your money's doing nothing for you in a CD or mutual fund. Learn how to profit when the market's up or down. Call us now while seats are still available at 303-325-2776. Use offer code RADIO50. 303-325-2776. That's 303-325-2776.
David R. Cishan, certified estate planner and registered financial consultant, specializes in working with people who are planning for retirement and retired clients who want to preserve and grow their assets. David is the regional vice president of Householder Group, an independent estate and retirement planning firm. He's been nominated as a five-star wealth manager, an award based on client satisfaction, and is educated on the specific issues and concerns facing seniors today. David has the experience, knowledge, and tools to help you design and implement a strategic plan to pursue your individual financial needs. Call now for your free consultation with David Cishan of Cishan Financial. 720-482-1917. That's 720-482-1917. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Householder Group Estate and Retirement Specialist, LLC, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. And once again, it's the Legal Hour with Kevin Flesch. FleschLawFirm.com. That's F-L-E-S-C-H LawFirm.com. Flesch and Beck Law. Kevin's number, 303-806-8886. Put that in your phone, 303-806-8886. Talking about DUIs, kind of what police look for. And Kevin and I were just talking during the break on the Mueller talk yesterday and yeah. all the different questions. The word exonerate
yeah.
came up. And
a lot.
They pointed out a lot that, because Trump always kind of gives the impression, hey, they found none of this. We
right.
were exonerated, whatever. But it came out that you're never exonerated
no.
by anybody.
Yeah, it is interesting. And in the criminal process, constitutionally, and I had this happen in a hearing yesterday. You can never prove a negative. And what I mean by that is that if you didn't do something, you know, for example, the hearing I had yesterday, there was an allegation that someone had stole something through the use of a bank account. My client was saying, I didn't take the money. And the hearing officer said to it, well, what do you have for proof that she didn't steal something? Well, how can you prove that? If you say, I didn't do it, you don't have any proof because there's nothing there. You didn't right. do anything. You didn't know about it. You weren't. I mean, I suppose you can try to come up with some sort of alibi that you were somewhere that you couldn't have gotten to a computer or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, our basic tenets of our constitutional law in this country is that you're presumed innocent, and the people bringing the charges have to prove you guilty, and depending upon the circumstances, it's either beyond a reasonable doubt or by a preponderance of the evidence. And so the conversation yesterday was actually quite interesting because the whole room is filled with lawyers. I mean, if you did an inventory of the individuals in that room, there probably were 5 non-lawyers.
Yeah.
The rest of them are all lawyers,
sure.
and they all should know what the standard is. So it was sort of ridiculous because the Democrats are trying to say, well, you couldn't say he wasn't innocent, but that's where we started. And the whole report, and then everybody takes their political sides, mm-hmm. which was the interesting thing about it, because neither one is accurate in the situation. What he was saying is there was enough to probably to bring charges against him, but I don't think we could ever prove it. And who, as a fact finder, would find it? And the exoneration pieces, we would have had to gone through our investigation and completely said no way that this could ever have been charged, is basically what he was saying. And of course, the public comments by Trump on his Twitter and all of the other things are enough that he could be charged.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a whole debate as to whether or not a public person in his situation should be allowed to make comment about things that are going on in a public forum in that way. And does his comments alone cause individuals who are essentially working for the president to be impacted? I mean, it's a crazy discussion because if you talk to normal human beings, they're like, well, why are we doing this? Especially when you get to the point where he admitted yesterday that there was no evidence of any conspiracy or collusion with anybody from Trump's campaign with the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you then have the second part of the equation? At any rate, what's interesting and it happens in DUI cases too. It's the same sort of thing. The state or the individuals who are bringing the charges against you for the allegations that you're impaired by alcohol have to have evidence. They can't just show up and say, well, he looked a little funny and his driving wasn't very good, so he must have been impaired by something. And then you have to somehow prove that you're not. Well, that's not how our system works.
Right.
And so you can never, I go through the process of voir dire many times with jurors, especially in these sorts of cases. And I say, all right, so you're all, because normally the panel is 25 people that are in the room with us, and we're getting down to 6. So the whole panel, I say to the 25 individuals, for this example, you've all been picked. We now have a jury of 25 individuals. The prosecution has to prove everything beyond a reasonable doubt to you, and you unanimously have to agree that they've done their job. I don't have to do anything. And in fact, the jury instruction says I could play chess, I could play cards with my client, I could be looking at YouTube all day on my phone. I don't have to do anything. It's all the prosecution's burden. Well, in this example, the 25 of you have now heard all of the evidence. And of course, the evidence is nothing because there hasn't been any evidence. The prosecution has to prove these 3 elements, and I pick the elements, whatever the crime is or whatever I've decided that I want to use as a crime for that day. And so I say to all the 25 individuals, now, knowing the presumption of innocence, knowing that you don't have any evidence before you, what's your verdict? And half the time, I'll get people that will say guilty. And I'll say, but how? Well, they've been charged and I'm just not sure. But I say, what about this presumption? And what about the fact that there's no evidence? Well, yeah, I guess. I said, isn't it the fact that you'd have to find this person not guilty because you have no evidence and the presumption is innocence? So when we talk about the exoneration, it just, right, it doesn't work. I mean, it's a fallacy. The prosecution always has the burden, and the person is always presumed to be innocent. They started innocent. We all started innocent. Mm-hmm. And we all, that's the great thing about our system, is that everything is on the state, because quite frankly, the state has all the resources that if they want to prosecute you and they want to put together the evidence, they can do it if it's there. They have the resources to figure it out.
Right.
And that's where all I'm doing the majority of the time is trying to keep the field of play balanced. And what do I have on my side? I've got the Constitution. I've got the Constitution saying to you and I, we're presumed innocent. We will not have any sort of sentence brought against us until this whole process goes through. And that's why we have such a great system, because in the end, a lot of times with jurors, it's people from the community that to get to hear this stuff, and they get to make a decision about it. And most, I would say the majority of the times, jurors make the right decisions, because they just kind of, they don't, first of all, they're not interested in either side. They understand what their role is. They take it seriously, even though they don't want to be there. But once they get into the process, they find it an interesting one, and they find it something that they have a community responsibility to do, and they do it. And sometimes they don't like the outcome. I've had jurors lots of times that have said, we found your client not guilty. We thought he was completely guilty, but the prosecutor didn't have this evidence or that evidence. Or you pointed out this thing or that thing that did give us pause, and it did make us wonder. So that wonder was enough that it wasn't beyond a reasonable doubt. And even though we didn't want to do it, we thought that it was the right thing under the law to do it. And that was our duty. And so that's what we want.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole process, it was an interesting one, because it was essentially, and the Democrats want to say, oh, he was guilty before the investigation even started, and the investigation would have to put enough evidence forward that he's not guilty, right? Because that's what they were trying to say. They were trying to say to this prosecutor, because that's what Mueller is. I mean, he's a lifelong prosecutor. Could you have, without any hesitation, say that there isn't any ability for you to charge this individual, because that's basically what exonerate means. And of course, a prosecutor's not going to do that. That's not how they're wired.
Right.
So, I mean, it's good theater. It's not very fun for the legal system or to see where we're at with regard to sort of where it, this is my personal opinion. Think of the money and the resources that were spent on all of that, where it is not doing us any good.
Yeah.
And they're not either getting rid of laws, or they're not making laws that are helpful for the rest of us. It's just spinning our wheels.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So, as I mentioned before the break, police officer pulls you over, asks if you've been drinking. What are the key phrases or key words?
Yeah.
First of all, as few as possible, as you always say.
So, yeah, that's exactly right. So the first thing is you have to realize that you're in an adversarial position in this situation. Police officer has pulled you over. The reason that they pulled you over, you can surmise, is that they think they have a reasonable suspicion to do so. They don't just pull you over because they want to have a chat, generally speaking. Sometimes they'll have contact with you if you're on the side of the road, you're changing a tire, they want to make sure you're okay. I had a client 2 days ago that retained me, was sleeping in a parking garage downtown, had a bunch to drink, and you know, security saw him on the video surveillance, thought, boy, that's strange. It's 2 a.m. This car is here. It looks like a guy's passed out in the car. Is he okay? Please show up. But they're always there for a reason. So the first thing you have to realize is that anything you say can be used against you. So this is one of those examples where I have clients that lie and say no, but it's obvious that they're impaired. You can say, I'm not answering that question, because that's certainly a fair thing to say, or you can say nothing. And I would advise either saying nothing or saying I'm not answering that question, especially if you've been drinking.
Right.
Because you don't want to get into a situation where the first thing that you have in your contact with the police officer is a lie. That's going to come up in a jury and say, well, they've already not been honest with the officer at the time of the stop because they took their breath test and the breath test came back above the legal limit. So, I mean, you can't say that you involuntarily ingested alcohol. I mean, that's just not something that's plausible most of the time. So my answer to that is the only thing you need to answer questions about when stopped by a police officer or having some contact with a police officer is your identity, who you are, and they ask you potentially for your driver's license, and if you're driving, probably proof of insurance, registration, those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. Those questions you get out of the way, and after that, you don't have to answer any further questions.
And we've mentioned this before, but having those documents readily available in an organized fashion may help you out a little bit.
It certainly will. So one of the training that the police officers have is they watch your demeanor. They watch how you work with your hands when they ask you for those things. They look to see inside the vehicle, and you know, whether there's a bunch of paperwork and whether you're organized, and they talk about that. And they always talk about it, not in a positive way, in the sense of, oh, he was very diligent and he handed me the, you know, Fleschenbeck plastic container with all of his stuff. They've never seen that in any report. What I see, though, is, you know, he hands me his credit card thinking that that was his ID.
Here's my Visa.
Right, my Visa or some other ID, and I say no, and then they put it back in their wallet, and 2 seconds later they give me the same thing back, because that indicates to the police officer and potentially a juror that you don't know what's going on relating to time and space, and you can't even get your ID out of your wallet. So if you have that stuff available as soon as the officer comes up, then you don't have to go through that. It's not in the report. It makes you look more likely than not that you're maybe not impaired by anything.
Right.
And that organization will also help you in potentially getting through the officer's question. Because as soon as you give more plausible possibility that you're impaired to the officer is going to inquire a little bit more, maybe get you out of the car, ask you to do voluntary roadside maneuvers, have the ability to smell something on you, look at your eyes, see that they're bloodshot and watery. You know, all of the sorts of things that they talk about that they put in the reports to indicate some sort of indicia of alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to the getting out of the car, doing all that,
yeah.
Sometimes you hear people say, hey, roll down the window 3/4 of a way and all that. I mean, you got to know right up front, and you've said this before, that, you know, you roll down the window 2 or 3 inches, the officer's attitude is probably going to change.
Yes, absolutely. So you want to be safe. Certainly, if you're a female in the car by yourself, you're not sure if the officer is a real police officer. You got to do things that make sure that the officer, if you do have some question about that, is you're just careful about it. Police officers get that. Right. But if you're not really rolling down your window, if when you roll down your window, smoke is rolling out of the window, because I've had that case, that just increases the ability for the officer to say, what's going on? And, you know, I get a lot of what are now DUID sort of reports, mm-hmm. where the officer smells marijuana smell in the vehicle. So they assume that, especially burnt marijuana smell, so they assume that somebody's smoking in the vehicle. You just don't want to smoke in your vehicle, period, because even if you smoked 3 days ago, it probably still smells like it. So if you have any contact with the police, they're going to immediately raise suspicion, because THC is still something that causes you to drive under the influence. And so you want to be reasonable in your efforts in regards to how exactly first of all, you want to make sure that the officer feels safe. So you have your hands somewhere where they can see them. And then say as little as possible, because if they do smell alcohol in your breath as you're speaking, that's going to be an indicator of indicia. That's one of the big ones for them to take you out of the car. So I've also had people, you know, start chewing gum or smoking, you know, cigarettes, things like that. I mean, that may or may not work. But if they get some other indicia as well, it shows that you may be sort of masking something. Yep. So you've just got to be aware of it. And, you know, if they've just got you, they've got you. Be as polite as possible, follow their directions, don't give any more information than you need to. Mm-hmm. Most people want to talk more than they should, and then never do the voluntary roadside maneuvers.
All right. It's the Legal Hour with Kevin Flesch, 303-477-5600 is our number. If you've got a legal question, we'll take your call. We'll be right back.
If you missed rates being this low before, now might be your time. Lower rates may help you to qualify for your new home, or lower your payments and eliminate mortgage insurance. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. We've been serving Colorado since 2001, and many of our clients are taking advantage of the lower rates. Most are able to save hundreds a month, all without extending their term. What could you do with $300, $400 a month or more? Pay off debt? Do some home improvement that you've been putting off? With your equity increasing and rates lowering, now might be the last chance to save thousands in interest. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Have you applied for a loan lately? Are you being treated like you're in an assembly line? No one listening? Just talking? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500, where we will listen and find the right loan for you, all without the stress. Take AIM, 720-895-0500.
Don't let mosquitoes disrupt your family fun at your next barbecue or keep the kids from camping out in the backyard. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and I'm very happy that our outdoor activities have been mosquito-free for the last 4 years thanks to the fine folks at Mosquito Authority. Their mission is to help protect you and your family from mosquitoes and the diseases they carry. And did you know when your dog or cat is bitten by a mosquito, heartworm is one of the most common infections? At Mosquito Authority, they guarantee you won't be bothered by mosquitoes between treatments. And if you are, hey, all you have to do is call. They'll come back out, reassess your property, and if necessary, retreat at no additional charge. No contracts, no commitments, and best of all, no mosquitoes. Call 303-688-2847. That's 303-688-2847. Or visit mosquitoauthority.com.
After an accident, think about Flesh and Beck Law. After your accident, you didn't think it was a big deal. You didn't think you were injured. You didn't think you'd ever hurt that much. You didn't think you'd have to miss work. You didn't think physical therapy would take so long. You didn't think there'd be so many hospital bills. You didn't think that the insurance company would take so long and give so little. You definitely didn't think you'd ever be in this situation. But you are. After an accident, think Flesh and Beck Law. Flesh and Beck have the experience and the knowledge to think about all the details you didn't know you'd have to worry about. They will answer all of your questions and help you to determine if you are entitled to compensation for your pain and suffering. After an accident, think Flesh and Beck Law. 303-806-8886. 303-806-8886. Call today to find out if they can help you.
Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center offers KLZ listeners complete pet care services every day, all at one location. It's so much more than a clinic and so convenient. Their expert staff is always happy to help your pet have the happy and healthy life it deserves. Schedule a medical checkup for your beloved companion or take the first step toward a better behaved buddy by signing your pup up for obedience training. Did you know that if your sweet kitty needs grooming, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center is one of the few facilities that offers grooming for both dogs and cats. And if you're planning a vacation, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center offers boarding for dogs, cats, and other small pets so you can take your vacation without worry, knowing that your four-legged family member's home away from home has a fully equipped medical center on site. Learn more about Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center at LoneTreeVet.com or call 303-708-8050.
Denver's Afternoon Rush. Rush to Reason is coming up at 3. Now, back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome back to the Legal Hour here on Haystack Help Radio. If you're just joining us, Kevin Flesh is with us. 303-806-8886 is Kevin's number. FleshLawFirm.com. That's F-L-E-S-C-H LawFirm.com. Flesh and Beck Law. Our topic today, DUIs. How to handle it, and if you missed the opening words from Kevin, first of all, he said DUIs are very avoidable, so don't drink and drive. And because Kevin, what's the first time DUI going to run you?
It's going to be a lot. I mean, even so, attorney fees are anywhere from $2,500 to $5,000, I'd say. Fees and costs for just the courts, another $1,300, and then you've got the classes on top of it. If you have to have an interlock device, you know, so overall, you're probably... You know, you see the billboards and everything else saying $10,000. I'd say it's probably in that range. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of Uber and Lyft rides.
Wow.
And it's completely avoidable.
Sure.
And so I understand how people can get lulled into believing they're okay. It's just anymore what I've said to folks is if you, other than one beer or one glass of wine, you get beyond that, you need to start thinking about doing something else in the way of getting home, whatever it is. And doing it, because in the end, I know it's a pain. I know that at the time it seems ridiculous, but when you're meeting me for the first time because you have a DUI, everybody says it would have been so much easier just to use my phone and grab a Lyft or get on light rail, anything.
Sure.
Because it's not a fun process. I mean, I like the work that we do in helping people in this, and we really do, because a certain percentage of the clients there are other issues going on in their life, and we help them with that so that normally the DUI is just an indicator their life's out of control. And so those are, in my mind, the situation that's really helpful for us, because I can have a conversation and a meaningful one with those individuals to really hopefully get them in a place where they will admit, yeah, I've got issues and I've got to work on these things. And those are the fulfilling cases for me to help people with. The difficult cases are the multiple DUIs where the person won't admit that they have an issue. I had one a month ago where we were going through sentencing, and there was a second client wasn't very old. And I said, you know, the judge is going to want to hear from you because this is a second within 5 years. We've got an in-home detention sentence on the table for you, so you're not going to jail, even though you probably should. It was an accident. I said, she's going to want to hear from you that drinking is a problem. She said, I don't have a problem drinking. It's because I've gotten behind the wheel that I'm here. I said, I know, but you make bad decisions when you're drinking. Mm-hmm. And so those sorts of situations are more difficult because I really had to have sort of a parenting moment. Rather than your lawyer giving you advice and counseling you on things, I really had to say, listen, this is sort of a point in your life where the third one, you're going to jail for 60 days and there's nothing that I can do about it. We can certainly work on the case and try to not have you get convicted of an alcohol-related offense. But if you get convicted, it's going to be a minimum of 60 days. And it's at that point that you have to admit that you've got an issue because it's a third offense lifetime. And those sorts of cases, judges take really seriously because a fourth is a felony in Colorado, and most of the district attorneys now are charging those felonies. And those aren't fun cases because now you're looking at prison. You're looking at losing all of your liberty. And so it gets very serious pretty quickly. But there's so many things you can do between the first and the fourth so that you can remedy what's going on in your life and the issues that you're having with whatever intoxicant it is, whether it's alcohol or drugs or marijuana.
And it doesn't matter if you got one at 21, then 31, then 41. I mean, that's
no
in Colorado.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. They look at lifetime. In fact, I had a case last year where the client recognized early on that he was an alcoholic, but he would get a DUI about every 10 years. And I was representing him in his late 60s. And so this was his fourth or fifth DUI, and his history caught up to him. And so now he's almost retired, or he was retired. And in this particular case, he had his wife had died, he had been retired, he had gotten bored, he was trying to deal with the losses in his life, and he turned to alcohol. Well, I mean, that's a good explanation as to what happened, but with his history, I had a lot of work to do with him to keep him out of prison.
Sure.
Because he was at a point, luckily he hadn't had an accident. It was an unfortunate circumstance why he had contact with the police, but it was what it was, and he was behind the wheel. And so it just, those historical markers in Colorado, and it doesn't matter what state you're in. Any state where you have an alcohol-related offense goes against your history in Colorado. So I've had that happen, too, where people say, well, you know, I had two when in my 20s in Wisconsin.
Right.
And now I'm in my 50s, and this is my first offense in Colorado. So people will say, well, it's my first offense. I'm like, well, it's not, because they look at your lifetime, and they get an NCIC report of all of the wherever you've had criminal violations. And if it comes up, it's an issue. And so it's better to know about it early on. And again, those are folks sometimes that are in denial about what the issues are with regard to their life. And it's normally alcohol that they have problems with because they think they can deal with it. But the driving has caused them the issue is raised in their life, so they've got to deal with it.
Sure.
And so we do.
Now, let's talk about, the officer asked you to get out of the car. Yeah. They're probably going to ask you, what more questions? And then the big key one, do you want to take us?
Sobriety test.
Yep,
voluntary roadside maneuvers is what we call them in Colorado. But most people think of them as sobriety tests, trying to figure out whether or not. And the reason that they ask you to do those tests is because they've pulled you over for reasonable suspicion of you've done something wrong legally. They've been able to cite you for weaving. They've been able to cite you for careless driving, missing a stop sign, you know, all of those sorts of things. They're now trying to figure out whether or not they have probable cause to have you do a test, either breath or blood test. And the way they normally do that is they get you out of the car and see how you do in some physical exams. Some of the exams are like the nystagmus test, which is basically them looking at your eye and doing a test so that you're when you consume, there are two things that cause nystagmus, and nystagmus is basically a jittering of your eyes in the outer portion when you turn your eye one way or the other to the outer portion of your head. And that jittering is called nystagmus, and it's nothing you can control. And it happens in two instances primarily, the ingestion of alcohol or a closed head injury. It's just something that happens physiologically with you. So it's a great test for them to have you do to determine whether there's alcohol in your system.
And that's when they'll usually take a pen or something, or follow my finger and don't move your head.
Correct.
Just your eyes.
Correct. Yeah. Just your eyes. And what normally happens is half the time you don't follow the directions, and so they've got another clue that you can't do. So that's why I say you, and they have to in Colorado, by law, the officer has to tell you that the tests are voluntary. You do not have to take them. Your license will not be affected by not taking them. You will never have anybody say that you're impaired because you didn't take this test. It's not something that's ever going to happen. And I advise people every day, don't take the tests. Because you, all you're doing is you're giving the officers more evidence. Mm-hmm. And the you then put the officer in a position at the point at which you've just been taken out of the car, you've just been talking with them, they've been asked you to do these voluntary roadside maneuvers, you haven't told them you've been drinking, they have a little hint of alcohol, they see some red bloodshot water in your eyes, your driving isn't that bad, they now have a real decision to make, the officer does, whether or not he has probable cause, or she, whether they have probable cause to ask you to take a breath or blood test. If you don't do the tests, that's all the evidence they have. It's a pretty difficult case for them to make that decision. Most more risky officers will say, I want you to take a test. So then you have to take a breath or blood test. You get to decide. You can't have a lawyer present. You can't make a phone call to a friend. You can't do any of those things. You've got to make that decision on the spot yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's where they start getting people in difficult situations, because individuals, generally speaking, who know they've been drinking don't want to take any tests. But if you don't take a test, then you lose your driver's license through the DMV process, and you're going to lose it for a little bit longer than you would if you take a test. So it all depends on how important the driving portion of your life is, because if it isn't that big of a deal, you probably don't take a test and you take your chances.
And will that be all driving? In other words, you can't get a permit to go to work?
No, yeah. Like right. So then, and the way it works now with it, over the last 10 years, the way it's worked is the legislature has not given the Department of Revenue hearing officers any authority to give what used to be a restricted license or a red license. The only way that you get to early reinstate your driving privilege after losing it because of an alcohol-related offense is by putting an interlock in your car. So you've got to have one of these devices that you have to blow into to start the car and periodically blow into to make sure that you're not drinking while driving again. And that normally happens, after, let's say on a first offense, you're below the 0.15 alcohol range, but you're over 0.08. So you're in that range where you're above the legal limit. DMV would determine at that point that you have to have, you lose your license for 9 months. You really only lose it for 30 days because you can get an interlock device in your car for the last 8 months. You do a refusal, you know, you're going to lose it for 60 days. You're really going to lose it for a year. But again, you can get an interlock device put in your car and you'd have it lost for 60 days and then the remainder on an interlock.
Wow.
So they've got you at the side of the door. You have to make this snap decision. If you say to the officer, I can't make a decision, I want to have a lawyer, well, that's going to immediately mean a refusal. And then you're going to have to explain yourself later why you wanted that. Still not a valid defense to not making a decision. So you won't take a test, but it'll be a refusal. If you do take a test, the breathalyzer or the blood, I always recommend people take blood test. Okay. Just because there's more opportunity to get it retested and make sure that the result is accurate versus a breath test.
Sure. 303-477-5600 is our number. We've got one more segment with Kevin. If you've got any questions, give us a call. We'll be right back.
Got a road trip planned for getting ready for your next outdoor adventure? Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at D&D Tire Service. At D&D Tire Service in Parker and Aurora, they understand automotive issues can be a headache, and they never come at a convenient time. D&D Tire Service is family-owned and operated and is truly your one-stop shop for all of your automotive needs. All tires are reduced, and for a limited time, there are some great rebates saving you up to $200. From belts to tires, wiper blades, oil changes, D&D Tire Service has you covered. For the location nearest you, call 303-699-7337. That's 303-699-7337. D&D Tire Service is the official auto repair shop of Sportsman of Colorado Radio. Let D&D Tire Service keep you and your family safe on the roads. DNDTireService.com.
Ladies, I know you're tired of walking into the local gun store and seeing the same old thing. So let me tell you about Rampart Firearms. Just a quarter mile up Highway 67 off of Santa Fe and Sedalia, you will find a great selection of guns, ammo, tactical, and personal defense weapons. And if you or your spouse love to hunt, Rampart Firearms is a great stop for all of your hunting needs. Shotguns, rifles, pistols, anything from predator hunting to your next big game trip. Head to Rampart Firearms at the foot of the Rockies. Open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And you will only pay a 4% tax on your purchase. RampartFirearms.com, 720-468-0050. That's 720-468-0050.
Stack Optical has been providing the most comprehensive quality eye and vision care for over 50 years. Stack Optical is a family-owned business, and they're proud to be one of the few optical offices that have their own on-site eyeglass production and eyeglass repair studio. Your one-stop shop for all of your vision needs, eye exams, glasses, and contacts. And don't forget about the Stack Sports Pack. Let owner and certified optician Alan Stack customize a pair of specialized glasses that will make your next outing on the golf course or on the gun range better than ever before. Call today for your $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578. Or check them out at stackoptical.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back. Our last few minutes here with Kevin Flesh, Flesh & Beck Law, fleshlawfirm.com. Once again, Kevin's number, 303-806-8886. Our topic today, DUI. And we actually covered this on our Sportsman of Colorado show a couple weeks ago, but also boating, Kevin, under the influence. And it's the time of year a lot of people are on the water, but there's a lot of a lot of these same rules apply, so to speak. I mean, it may be Colorado Parks and Wildlife instead of a police officer, but they carry the same value.
They do, and they have the same rights and obligations. They are a their powers in arresting someone for boating under the influence is the same. I just finished a case with an individual who was in a car also with his handgun with a concealed carry permit, and he had been drinking. And it's the same sort of standard as a DUI or a BUI, that the under the influence, the argument is that they still have to prove what your alcohol content is. And that's a really interesting argument for law enforcement. In this particular case, it was an individual who they did not charge with a DUI because he was not over the legal limit. So he was under 0.05, but they charged him because he told them, you know, he had the contact with the police, and we always talk about saying as little as possible. He told the officer initially when the officer was at his car door that he had his concealed carry in his car. I always tell people not to mention that, but the officer then realized he also had a beer sitting in the console, and he said, "Have you been drinking?" And he said, "Yes," and then he charged him with the carrying under the influence. Luckily, the officer wasn't smart enough that he took him back to the station and had him take a real test. He had him do a handheld breathalyzer, and that's something that sometimes the officers will have you do in the voluntary roadside maneuvers. Those handheld devices are not certified and they're not admissible. So you never do it. But even if you did, it's not something that you have to worry about. In this particular case, he had him do that, but it wasn't high enough that the case law says that it's the same standard as driving under the influence relating to the. So if it had been over 0.08, the client would have not only gotten the DUI, but he also would have gotten the weapons charge too. So those of us that are out there with concealed carry, remember that whenever you're in a vehicle with your concealed carry permit, you don't want to get in the vehicle if you've been drinking, period, but especially if you have a weapon in, because it just makes it even worse. But relating to the voluntary roadside maneuvers, so we've covered sort of those things of what you do, and I always say just don't do anything. Make your decision. The breath test, you have to go to a certified machine, and there's certainly some arguments to be made relating to the certification process. But those arguments are very small in comparison to being able to argue about the blood tests when we get it retested. So I always recommend people do the blood test. It takes a little bit longer to get the results, mm-hmm. so you have to be patient about it. You're going to have to wait to get those results back. But there's so many opportunities for us. I've had numerous trials where district attorneys didn't get the evidence in correctly or didn't have the right people when we requested the chematologist to show up for trials, and the cases have been dismissed, or we work out a reckless driving or something else. So always think about that, because again, I'm not saying sure. you guys are correct, but these are the things that we can do to defend you.
Right. But a minute and a half left, but real quick, usually will they put the person in the car and then ask them this question: can we search your vehicle?
Yes. And you always say no, no matter what.
Okay.
Because then that's a voluntary search. The other search would be something that they'd have to get a search warrant for, or they're going to say that they're searching incident to towing because they have to tow your vehicle most likely. And then we've got arguments legally about whether or not it was reasonable for them to do that and whether or not you need to. I mean, generally speaking, people don't have things in their cars that they have to worry about.
Sure.
But you just never know. If you
right.
lend a car to somebody else, to a friend, I mean, who knows what they're going to find in
right.
there. So I always say never allow, same thing with your house, never allow officers in your home. I mean, I'm a law-abiding citizen. I'm a lawyer. I would never allow a police officer in my house, period. They just don't need to be there unless they have a search warrant for it.
Sure.
And then they've got probable cause why they need the search warrant. You can't stop them anyway.
Right. And then the last thing I want to end on here is just have Kevin or someone that really can specialize, and I don't know if that's the right word, in
yes.
DUI, because you know what? You don't want your friend that's a bankruptcy attorney or family law attorney trying to help you out with something, because there's a lot to know here.
It's amazing how a simple DUI case, how many things can go wrong from the prosecution standpoint that technically we can get the cases dismissed on certain things. There are times in every case where you're going to want to have a specialist that works in these cases on a regular basis. And the metro area is large enough that there's a large population of folks that are doing just DUI work.
Mm-hmm.
And our firm is one of those. And so I always recommend for this sort of thing, even on a first offense where your blood alcohol level isn't that high, we add value. Just because there are certain, sometimes there are things that we can do to get the cases dismissed outright. Sometimes we put the prosecution in the position where what you don't want to have is an alcohol-related offense on your criminal history for the rest of your life. Because as much as people think that the DMV record sort of rolls over every 7 years, that's not the case with these DUIs.
Right.
You never lose this conviction. So you just don't want to have one on your record, period. And that's where a professional like our law firm can help.
Absolutely. Kevin, great information. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
303-806-8886. 303-806-8886. FleshLawFirm.com. FLESCH LawFirm.com. I want to thank you for being with us today on Haystack Help Radio and the Legal Hour. Leave it right here on KLZ 560.
And opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.